small section of the Sermon on the Mount, which, as I said before, covers three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. It's Jesus' longest description of kingdom life, of what it looks like to live as his followers and serve as members of God's family. His teaching impresses on his followers, and that includes us, that they are to be noticeably different to those they live among, especially those who are not Christians. Now, our passage today from Matthew is connected to the previous few verses, 19 to 24. And in that, Jesus compares worldly possessions with heavenly treasure, spiritual possessions. And just a couple of verses from the previous passage. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And lastly, you cannot serve both God and money, material wealth. Jesus continues in this passage, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. In this short passage, Jesus tells his listeners three times, do not worry. And as I have said before, when Jesus says, do not, we need to pay attention. My Bible dictionary describes worry as intense anxiety or concern. As human beings, we can be terrible worriers, or most of us anyway, if not all of us. If you don't worry, speak to me afterwards because I would like to know what your secret is. As human beings, we can be terrible worriers. I know that before I became a Christian, I worried about millions of things. Well, perhaps not, but many, many things. And I would be totally absorbed with difficult situations, even to the point of being paralysed into doing nothing. And even now, after becoming a follower of Jesus, about 30 years, there are still times when a situation occurs that I do experience anxiety, and it causes me to not sleep, or to become so inward-looking that I'm tempted to ignore everything else. What happens is that I fall back into my old habits of behaviour, of fear and anxiety. If we're Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, then we will be aware that this brings an inner conflict with our natural selves. Worry isn't from God. He doesn't want us to worry. In fact, he commands us not to. And yet we still do. So Paul describes this conflict in Romans chapter 7. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin within me. That was St. Paul, who I think was an amazing person. He was an amazing saint. He reminded himself what God had done for him in Jesus. And he goes on to say in the same passage, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ. His confidence was in God, was in Jesus and what he'd done. Now I know that when I start to worry, it shows really, I believe, that I'm not trusting God. When any of us worry and get anxious, that's really what we're showing to others. Worry can negatively affect our physical and mental health. It can prevent us functioning normally, and that may then affect others. And it also negatively affects our relationship with God. We may not worry about essentials such as what we are to eat or what we are to wear. But a lot of people worry about those, and me sometimes. But the pressure of materialistic society encourages us, really, I think, to worry about pretty much everything else. We're constantly bombarded through television especially, but also through newspapers, magazines, billboards, and even our computers and phones, which is really annoying. And I was writing my sermon, these things kept flashing up and I don't know how to get rid of them. And it's really annoying with dresses and makeup, and I think, I'm not interested in those. And they just keep coming up, shoes, I don't know. We're being shown what we should wear and when, what we should be eating and drinking, that we need a new car with a new registration and a personalised number plate, a bigger house, this or that perfect holiday, a bigger and better kitchen. We need to be thinner, or our teeth need to be whiter. Some of us were even told that we need wrinkle cream. Actually, I added that. I only added that last night. I added that because I was standing in front of the mirror in the bathroom yesterday, and I was standing there, I was looking at my face, because the mirror's above the basin, and I just looked at all the lines and I said, oh dear. And Colin heard me, and he said, so what is it you're preaching on? Point made. And no, I'm not going to buy any wrinkle cream. Philippians 4, 6 says, Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we need to do persistently to overcome worry and anxiousness? To pray, to give thanks to God for his constant provision in our lives. We need to look back to remember the times when he has answered our prayers and continually accept the unconditional love and forgiveness that he so graciously gives us. We are God's children, and we are meant to be dependent on him. Let's take our worries and anxieties and fears to God. When Jesus died on the cross, he opened the way for us to have a personal relationship with him. Through his blood, through Jesus' blood, which he shed for us, we can approach God as forgiven sinners. He's our heavenly, loving, heavenly Father. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Do we know that he cares for us? Do we really know it in our hearts? In the parable of the sower, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus explains the different ways in which the seed, the word of God, is planted in people's lives. And in some it grows, and in some it dies. He tells them that the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. So I wonder, are we one of those who have allowed this to happen? Have we got a seed in our heart that has never burst into life and is still lying dormant? In the story of Mary and Martha, Mary was upset, and Martha was upset that she was doing all the work while Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Jesus tells her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Like Martha, in our busyness, we can easily neglect time with God, and through that, our faith is weakened. And sadly, when we worry, it's not usually because of our concern over our lack of time spent in praying, reading God's words and word and worshiping Him. But Jesus says that that is the one thing that is needed. That is several things, I know, but I'm just quoting the verse. But those are the things that God wants us to do. We need that personal relationship with Him all the time. Jesus commanded us not to worry. So how can we avoid it? Actually, I don't think we can, really. But by faith and trust in our loving Heavenly Father, He can help us overcome it. Dwelling on what may happen tomorrow or in the future is what the enemy of our soul wants us to do. He wants us to take our eyes away from looking heavenward and to keep us focused on this earthly life, to put our trust in material wealth and earthly relationships, none of which will last. Worry will not change anything, but it will rob us of our peace and perhaps even give us sleepless nights and maybe ulcers. Our relationship with God should be our number one priority. When we put Him first, then everything else will fall into place. And we know from both our texts that were read today that God will provide everything that we need, but not necessarily everything that we want. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.